Jesus, we worship you and thank you for the victory that is ours because of what you've done for us. As we worship you, may you find joy in the pureness of our hearts, seeking your face. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week. Palm Sunday, y'all can sit down, I'm going to be a minute. Palm Sunday, as we recognize it and call it, it's called that because Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem on this day at the beginning of Holy Week, and they laid palm leaves down as he came in on the donkey. It was our equivalent of rolling out the red carpet, if you will. The significance was they were showing honor and respect because they were looking for a king. They were looking for deliverance. Jesus came in on a donkey, which he was fulfilling scripture, which they would have known. Their Messiah was coming in on a donkey. And so they were excited because by this point, Jesus was a superstar. Okay? He, not far from Jerusalem, is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. He had fed the 4,000 and fed the 5,000, and everybody knew there was something special about Jesus. They just didn't get it. They were looking for something different. What they were looking for was deliverance from the Roman Empire. They were under the rule, and they were looking for a king that was going to come in and establish them as a nation. That's what their eyes were on. The disciples, honestly, they were riding the wave. They really didn't know what was going on. They had a bull by the horns, and they were just trying to hang on. But Jesus was fulfilling God's plan. He was fulfilling the scripture that would allow you and I to have deliverance. He was coming to the throne as a Messiah. They were looking for a king. He became the King of Kings. So this morning, I want to take you on a journey through the book of John. It's going to visually show us what took place from Monday to Thursday. Watch with me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As we look at Palm Sunday and what the events that took place from when Jesus entered the city until when he was crucified, really nobody understood what was taking place, what history they were living. The interesting thing in my mind is this huge crowd that came out to welcome this superstar, and they threw down the red carpet for him. Many of them, just a few days later, would be calling for his death. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are saved now, it is the very power of God. Verse 19, as the scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intellect of the intelligent. Verse 20, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs for heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's nonsense. Verse 24. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest human plan, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest human strength. Let me summarize that for us. Because you see, as God set in motion His plan to redeem us, the reason that that took place, the reason that Christ had to go on the cross, was, among other reasons, if you look at what was taking place during the time of Christ when this was happening, the religious leaders, the church, could not stand Jesus. You saw the guys in the funny suits? They were upset. They were upset that Jesus was getting attention. The reason that Jesus was getting attention was He offered something they didn't. And what they were worried about, I'm going to be honest with you. They were worried about their pocketbooks. They were worried about their income, because how they got rich was off people like us, and how we had to go to them to be forgiven for our sins. We had to go to them to have any hope of getting to God. So God sent Jesus. This plan, as the Scripture said, did not make any sense to them whatsoever. In fact, as they saw the popularity of Jesus rising, they knew they had to get rid of Him. And the most fascinating thing to me about Christ going on the cross for you and I, do you know who put Him there? Do you know who put Him on the cross? The church. The church is the one who put Him on the cross. The people who were supposed to be worshiping and looking for Him are the very ones who made it happen and put Him on the cross. God's wisest plan looks foolish, and it's so much smarter than any human wisdom. The world today doesn't get Jesus any more than they got Him back in that day. They don't understand it. How can you believe in something you can't see? How could it make sense that this could take place? How is it that I can be forgiven for every sin that I've ever committed? See, the other thing that the world has so much trouble with is wrapping their head, in our day and age, is why God would send anybody to hell. That's the thought process. I bet you've had people ask you that. Why would God send anybody to hell? Make sure you are firmly planted in your faith to understand God does not send anybody to hell. You go there by your free will choosing. They say, well, nobody would choose to go to hell. You're right. Given a choice, heaven or hell. Which one you picking? Heaven's selling out every time. But do you understand eternity is not about heaven or hell? It never has been. It's what they couldn't understand in Jesus' day and what so many people in our day have trouble understanding. People want to get saved so they can go to heaven. You hear this all the time. Eternity is not about heaven. Okay? We have to clear that message up. It is not about heaven. It is not about going to hell. It comes down to this one thing. Do you want a relationship with Christ or not? Have any of you ever had friends that you wish you didn't have? You know what I'm talking about. those friends that you go, God, they are wearing me out. And you wish that you didn't have a relationship with them. God will not force you to have a relationship with Him. He won't. He loves you so much. Think about that friend that you wish you could get rid of. And they invite you to dinner and you have to go. You've been there. Got to go. Don't want to go. I'm going to suffer through it. Okay? God loves you so much, He would not make you suffer through eternity with Him if you don't want to. That's what it boils down to. So what God says is, if you don't want to spend eternity with me, it breaks my heart, but I will let you spend eternity without me. That's your choice. It's not about heaven or hell. It's about, do you want to spend eternity with a relationship with God or not? That's it. If you want to go to His house and spend eternity, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Easy enough. Because what our faith is built on and what our understanding comes down to is that everything we believe comes down to Christ. And the fact that the only way you can spend eternity with God is that your sins are paid for. Everything has a price. Period. We get that? Everybody understand that? Some prices have gone way up on things in the last few years, and they are much more expensive than they were. If you don't believe it, go to the grocery store. In my house, I do all the grocery shopping. What's amusing to me is when my wife goes to the store and she calls me and says, "Are you kidding me? Do you realize how much this cost?" Yeah, I do. The price for your sin is something you cannot afford. So you only have one option. That's Jesus. Jesus went in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with one thing in mind. He was following God's plan. Scripture tells us there were points during that week that the magnitude of what was taking place with Him was overwhelming to the human side of Him. And He had to keep focused. There were a couple times He goes, "Is there another way, God? Is there another way?" But with you in mind, He went to the cross. If there were nobody else on this planet ever but you, He would have still went to the cross. In building, ancient building, the most important point of any building was the cornerstone. It was the point where the building started. And they would go to great pains to make sure that it was perfectly level and lined up. And once that cornerstone was in place, everything else fell where it needed to. For you and I, Jesus has to be our cornerstone. Every ounce of energy and anything in your life has to be based on the cornerstone of Christ. If it's not, the rest of your life will not make sense. It will be in chaos. I have been undertaking the task of rebuilding my front porch on a house that was built in 1964. Many of you know this. if you've ever tackled any kind of building with an old structure, there's nothing square or level at my house. In everything I've ever done, it has all been an adventure because there was not level or square, and I had to build around it, and it's been chaos. In your life, if it is not set on the cornerstone of Christ, this life will not make sense, and it will be chaos. But for us, we have the opportunity to put our life in Christ because He went to the cross for you. And so we build our life on that cornerstone. Let's worship Him. Father, we thank You that You are our cornerstone. That we have freedom and redemption. We have the gift of mercy and grace because You loved us and set us free. Let us grasp the magnitude of what Easter means. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. As we think about Jesus being our cornerstone, where we could build our lives, an eternal life, I want to show you the reason that God's plan played out the way it did. The reason that Christ went to the cross for you. Hebrews chapter 2, I'm going to start reading at verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Verse 15. Only in this way could He set free all who lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. It's pretty simple. Because you and I are human beings made of flesh and blood who have sinned against God. The only way that that could be paid for is by another human being. And so God sent His Son Jesus in flesh and blood to live a perfect life, which you and I are not capable of, and then die to pay for our sins. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You see, what God did for us is He made a way when we didn't even know we needed one. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sin, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, for He forgave all our sins. Verse 14, He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over the cross. You and I, being dead to our sin, could only be made alive by Christ paying for our sins. And for those of us who have accepted Him, who have given your life to Him, we talked last week about the times when you go, is it real? Did I really do it? Did I do enough? This can't be the truth. This can't be all there is. I have to do more. And so doubt comes in and you wonder, like we took a poll, all of us at some point doubt our salvation. Because our doubt comes out of us, not Him. We look inward, not outward. And when you face those times of doubt and worry and concern and fear, the one thing I want to give you, and I was going to give you this last week, I didn't get to it, but look at verse 14, because this is important. If you underline, if you highlight, if you tap, whatever you do, this is one you need to make point that you can get back to. Because this is one you need to throw up in Satan's face. Verse 14, He canceled the record of the charges against you and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Any doubt you have, any fear, any concern, any worry was nailed to the cross. And He took it away. So when you wonder, is this real? Can this all be all there is? He took it away. If you were standing in front of a judge, and you will one day, and there are charges against you, Jesus say, I took care of that. There are no charges. They're gone. Your rap sheet is clean. Because of something that is unbelievable to us, and that is the grace and the mercy of the cross. That is a God who loved you so much that He gave you something you can't afford. He gave you grace and mercy. Now, the difference between those two are very interesting. Let's think for a minute if you are a rock climber. Why you would be one, I don't know. But let's just, for the sake of this illustration, you're a rock climber. Going up the face of a mountain, and you get to a point where you're clinging on, and your grip is slipping. And you try to say to yourself, I'm strong enough, I can do this. And you keep hanging on, and you keep trying to tell yourself you're good enough, you can do this. Until your grip slips, and you fall, and you hit the bottom, and you're still alive, although you wished you weren't, and an ambulance comes, and they rescue you. That's mercy. That rescuing, that taking, that healing for somebody who said they didn't need it, who they could do it, that's mercy. Grace, on the other hand, go back to that same situation. You're hanging on. You know you're slipping. You know that while you would like to think you're good enough, you know you're not. And so you call out for help. And Christ will reach down and grab you and pull you up the mountain. That's grace. He's giving you both. He's giving you mercy for a sinner who didn't even know they needed a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short. All of us. And so when 6:23 says that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. That's the mercy. He scooped you up when you didn't even know you needed scooping up. And then you place your trust in Him, your life in Him. He didn't leave you at that point. He's going to live the rest of your days here, moment by moment with you. And in those times when you go, I can't handle this, I can't do it, I'm slipping, the grace of God will reach down and lift you up. Because of the cross. Because of the cross. And everything that you and I need takes place at the cornerstone, at the start, when we give our life to Him and we go to the cross.